This is a Pinball News production.
Appreciate everybody. I guess it's my job to keep everybody awake here, so I'm going to do my best to do that with a little slideshow. I'm a visual learner because I'm an artist, so my slideshows have a lot more pictures than words, so hopefully you'll have something to look at besides me. So anyway, I just want to say thanks again to all you guys that have put this on, and thanks for inviting me. I'm humbled to be here. I've had a nice long career in pinball, and so all of these shows and events that I get to go to are special to me too. I just want you to know that. So thanks again for having me out here. So I start by saying I'm Greg Ferris because...
Left button.
I'll figure it out. I'm not Paul Ferris. When Paul hired me at Bally, he said, I'm reluctant to hire you because our names are a little similar and we might get confused all the time. And I said, well, don't let that stop you. And fortunately for me, it didn't. So I was appreciative of Paul hiring me, but we do get confused. People have told me, I really like your work on Lost World, and I'm like, well, I did the other Lost World. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I am not technically savvy. All right, so for the Belgian community here, I did a beer bottle for a local brewery. This is the artwork for a Belgian honey, okay? And so, and the guy that owns the beer company, Tom Uban, who used to be a programmer, actually is a rock climber, so he wanted a girl climbing a big rock, and that's what I gave him right there. So that's a Belgian honey. So close. So I'm going to go through this quickly just to keep you awake. I started my career at Bally with Harlem Globetrotters. That was my first game that I produced, or that was produced with my name on it. I did skateball before that, but they didn't manufacture skateball until later. I did Fathom. I always hear a lot of good comments about the package art on Fathom. And thanks for all the kudos on that. Because it was a labor of love. It was I had a lot of help from that other guy, Paul Ferris. He directed me very, very much and got me to do obviously one of my best pieces. So thanks to Paul for that. I got to work with Steve Ritchie, first time ever on Star Trek Next Generation, and I tell this story many times. But Steve said, Greg, you're known for doing funny games, and I don't want anything funny on this game. I said, and my comment back was, well, it's Star Trek. Then we got to combine our talents on No Fear, and that was, he allowed me to actually come up with funny stuff on No Fear. So we put our brains together. He's the double skull, and I'm the guy that doesn't want to jump out of an airplane, so the rest is history. And that was Steve's last game. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't scare him away. Revenge from Mars, as Lyman said earlier, was the last game that we worked on at Williams, and those were tough times to leave the industry. I went to work for Midway Games as a art manager for console video games, and I got to do two console video games in 8 years. So, long production schedule. So, what I've been talking about this year is a little bit of my career, but also Whizbang Pinball. And I'm going to briefly touch on that here just to set it up. But I'm going to show you some behind-the-scenes stuff that led to Moanelli Big Juicy Melons and go through that a little bit. So this is the garage shop to the Stern shop. So people say, well, what is whiz-bang and what does that mean? Well, it's just me and Dennis. When we were underemployed, I use that term loosely, back in the recession that America went through, and the rest of the world, I guess, too, we decided to put our heads together and come up with something unique. We really wanted to get back in pinball. Neither one of us had done much with pinball, you know, after he left Stern and I was gone from pinball since 99. So we really wanted to try something different, unique. We're good at working together, and we like working in pairs. So Elvira, Scared Stiff.
Is this the base of the moves?
And then, you know, we designed, I came up with Party Animal at Bally, and Dennis was like, yeah, I'll do a game called Party Animal. I didn't get to work on the artwork. Pat McMahon worked on the art, but we got that one off the ground, which then led to things like Dr. Dude and Party Zone, you know. So we got pretty much off our rocker and just, like, did crazy stuff, you know. I think somebody just mentioned earlier, man, what was going on at Williams in those days? These are pretty crazy themes. So, yeah, they are, but that's us. So there's the, you know, there's like the party trio. You got Party Monsters, Party Animals, and Party Dudes.
Captain Bizarro, for sure.
Captain Bizarro.
Captain Bizarro, yes. Dennis and I working together.
Say
what? Yeah. The Scared Stiff was our kind of a swan song together. We worked on that, and that's really when things started going south at Valley and Williams. So, but we got this one out the door, and I'm still very proud of this game. It's a good playing game. I know a lot of the hardcore gamers think it's a little shallow, but we set out to design a game that, at that time, we needed more people to play pinball in the real world. And so we set out to make sure that the game was understandable at this basic level. And we wanted to make sure that happened. So hopefully we succeeded in that. And then for the hardcore, trying to get the spider bonus is the next step. So this all leads to whiz-bang pinball, excuse me. That's not vodka.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, the one was.
Gary says, oh.
We'll get that short.
I got a bottle.
So after not seeing each other for quite a few years, Dennis and I met up at the Northwest Pinball and Game Room Show up in Seattle. And we heard a lot of people using this word, custom. And the more we talked to people, the more we understood that a lot of enthusiasts were building their own games. And I said to Dennis, and I said, well, you know, we can do this. You know, if everybody else can, we should give it a try too. So Dennis happened to have an EM game in his collection at the time. So he said, well, let's just Frankenstein an old EM game and see what happens. So he had bought this game in 2006, and it sat in his garage until 2009, until we ripped it apart and turned it into Womanelli. This is Continental Cafe from Gottlieb, and this is the original layout. I'll show a picture that shows the changes that we made. But first, Dennis had to give me the pitch. So he calls me one day and he goes, you've got to come out to my house. I've got the perfect idea. And I was like, all right. So drove out to his house. And so he says, okay, so we both like Fruit Crate label art. You know, this is a classic thing that, you know, farmers used to go to the market and buy fruit. And this was the point of purchase. You know, the artwork had to attract everybody's attention. So, and we both like pinup art, and we both like pinball art, so we just combined that idea. And then, you know, we took my skills of shoving brushes up our nose, and, Dennis is very skilled with tools. And And we got to a point where we called this thing Molinelli Big Juicy Melons. So this is Dennis's first sketch of the cabinet, which is pretty interesting because Dennis has always wanted to do unique things with cabinet design. And he's had some opportunities in the past, which kind of looks like this. So that the one on the right is a mock-up of his pedestal idea that he brought from his schooling. He was going to school to become a product designer, and so he really wanted to bring something unique to pinball. So he sold this idea to Bally at the time, and they hired him, but it got a little bit changed on a certain number of games that were out there. So, but you can see there's some influence here with the pedestal idea. So here's the garage phase. You know, we took that Continental Cafe, stripped it down, really started bringing it, you know, to something else. All the trim was all hand done by Dennis. He worked outside and literally threw the wood on the floor, on the ground, and stepped on it and beat it up with chains and stuff, and then he torched it, and then he stained it to make it look like an old beat-up fruit crate. This is another in-progress shot. We grabbed old fruit crate labels from the internet and just decided to dress it up a little bit. So this shows you the influence of where we got this idea from. It started life as Sweet Juicy Melons, and we decided to take it to that next level, you know, so that's where we went with that. Yeah. So when we brought it to Expo, Pinball Expo in Chicago the first time, we had the base crate, we didn't have a game finished yet, and we had the main cabinet on top of the base crate, and everybody was like, I don't get it. Where's the legs? And we were like, well, it doesn't have legs. It's a bunch of fruit crates stacked up on top of each other. A lot of people couldn't wrap their head around a pinball game without legs. So anyway, but I think we finally won a few people over. This is, again, in progress. It's starting to take shape. We started making our own decals for it instead of using everything else. That's me, 40 pounds lighter. And we started buying more Continental Cafes. We decided to make more than one game. Somebody suggested we make 50, and we were like, no, we're not manufacturers. We're just guys that are doing this in a shop. So we're gonna do a few. So we ended up doing four, just because that's about what we were gonna be able to handle. We got a lot of help from key people. Mark Wayna, who now works with us at Stern, helped us out tremendously. He's a big EM collector, and he knows EMs inside and out. And the first game that we started was an EM game, and we had to rewire all the guts from the playfield that Continental Cafe was to the game that became Molinelli. Ken Walker, also a big part of Team EM in the States. He's also very, very well-known in the Chicago area and does a lot of work with EM collectors when they need help. So both of these guys were key ingredients to making this thing happen. So this is a picture of Dennis's first idea on the left. And it didn't change too much from Continental Cafe, except that he had return lanes added so that it would play more modern. But after we evaluated that, just looking and thinking about it, we decided, and Mark Wayna said, why don't you put the jet bumpers all in a group so you get more action from the jet bumpers? Because this game is so simple. All you got to do is get the lanes lit to get the bumpers lit to start collecting bigger scores. So when we did that, that seemed to be the magic. And we cut a white wood and we started playing it and we made some tweaks, but it was definitely the right move. So here you can see a lot of people think that Molinelli was just a re-arted Continental Cafe, but it couldn't be further from the truth. We used components from Continental Cafe, but we did not, we changed it quite a bit. And the return to the top is the key ingredient that changes it from the 50s, early 60s vintage to a more modern style layout. This is just detail shots. We had to use painter tape to make sure that every wire went back in the right place because it was mind-boggling to look at. This is cabinet work in progress. We tried different color schemes with decals. We got our first flipping game to Milwaukee in March of 2010. So we took that there, and it got a response. You know, in fact, that guy standing there looking this way with the badge on is Kerry Emming, and he is a software, hardware kind of guy. And he said, "Hey, I've been trying to get a system together for EM enthusiasts where they can change their EMs to solid state games. And could I help you guys?" And I said, "Yeah, I have no idea what you just said, but sure." So he, designed the system that ran Wonelli, or that runs the current Wonelli, but ran the three games that we built. So we ended up building one EM Wonelli and three solid state Wonellis, and that's all we made. So Kerry helped us greatly with that. This is a Roger Sharp at that first flip, and even Roger chimed in and said, "Hey, you guys need another rollover switch over here on the left side." So we did that. It was a good suggestion. So yeah, we got some lookers. You know, they were looking, they were playing, and they were having fun. And that's what it looked like when we were all done after we did our stint. The three solid state games lined up in Dennis's garage. So that's I love that picture because it is the garage shop, the Skunk Works, you know. So and we created a bit of a brand too. So we're real proud of our baby. There's the two daddies. So and there's another baby. So yeah, we did some outdoor photography on a cold November day. There's another phenomenon that has happened with Wonelli, and that is the home growers. So I'm not talking about weed. They decided to. We had leftover play fields and back glasses and cabinet decals. And so we decided to sell those off to help fund the rest of the build of these three games. And when we did, people told us, "Well, the reason I'm buying your playfield is to make my own game, because I'm going to buy a Continental Cafe and I'm going to retrofit everything to make it a Wonelli." And we just were like, "Really?" And so there are two people in the United States so far that have completed a Wonelli game on their own from the parts they bought from us, and this is Brad Grant. He's the first, and I gotta hand it to him. It's a lot of work to put it together. So there's one more in New Jersey, and there's two more underway in Seattle. So there are some home growers out there. So now to the Sturm shop. So we had to convince somebody that this was a good idea. We thought this is going to be a bit of an experiment because it's not a license. It's an original theme. So we had George Gomez on our side pretty early. So we brought it in and everybody looked it over and Gary said, "Sure, let's give it a shot. Let's see what happens." So again, we're very appreciative that Gary did this for us. This is our first ever Wonelli fan. His name is Darren. He's from downstate Illinois. He bought the first backglass that we ever sold for Wonelli, and then he bought the stand-up, and then he bought another stand-up, and so he's been buying Wonelli paraphernalia from the beginning, and he ended up buying one of the four games and very nicely let us use that game at Stern as a sample to follow. So we had that game for 2 years at Stern. We thank Darren every time we see him. Tom Copera came on board and helped us get the mechanical design from our garage design to the Stern, so that Stern could manufacture it on the line. So Tom's been an instrumental player in all of this. This is the first Stern white wood, and we just put the big flippers in there. It doesn't have big flippers, but we just did that for the photo. One of the key ingredients about this game is the cabinet, and we knew that George was very supportive from the beginning that this cabinet had to look and feel exactly like what we did in the garage. So our cabinet company, when we brought this to them, they were just like, "You're kidding." Because there's so much more work and effort into staining and aging it and all that kind of stuff. So we really got to hand it to Churchill Cabinets for helping us to make this look like the weathered pieces that we built in Dennis's garage. I call this one the stealth cabinet. This is we brought this in because we didn't want anybody to know what we were working on, so we painted it black. I don't know. This is an early version of the play field in there, and we didn't have Spike installed yet, so I put a picture of Spike up there. Behind the scenes people, I always like to give credit to more people than just the team, and that would be Reina Cortez, does an excellent job of designing our cables for all of our games, and she's done great work for Stern for a number of years now. And Dave Cadeau, also instrumental in the build-up lab, getting the first whitewoods built up and wired properly and shooting so that the programmers can do their job. And then, of course, Pat Powers. I'm sure a number of you may have talked to Pat over the years. Takes care of our service. Great guy. So the modifications, we had to make some amount of modifications from what we designed in the garage. The back glass changed size a little bit when it got a little bigger, actually, not for any specific reason. The shot that was called a gobble hole, we took the gobble hole out because early on, the four games that we built have a gobble hole. And when we took it to shows, people would be like, "Excuse me, but I just lost my ball and it didn't come out of the eject hole." And we were like, "Well, that's not an eject hole, that's a gobble hole." And so there was a lot of, we had to teach people what gobble holes were back then. So we took the gobble hole out for production and put an eject hole in there. But it took a bit of work to get that to kick out to the jet bumpers just right. These are wood samples of the crate, frames. And I've told this joke at other shows, and here it comes. So one morning at Stern, we woke up with wood. And there it is. It came to the wrong facility. That was supposed to go to Churchill Cabinets, and it got shipped to Stern. So we got all this frame wood that should have been at Churchill, but there it is. We woke up to that. So here's Churchill, doing some of their work, trying to get the look and feel of our stuff. Here's the weathered trim, all nicely stained, ready to go. Our idea is coming to fruition. Sorry for the pun. Dennis is helping the guys at Churchill Cabinet do their thing. These are some of the first prototype games. You'll notice that the first seven games we built had the wrong combination of colors on the wood trim. So these are brown cabinets with gray back boxes. It should have been just the opposite. So somewhere in the world there will be games with opposite colors. This is Dennis at the shop looking at the play fields that were just printed. This is Dennis still detailing it, making sure everything's right, which is good. We need that. This is all of us inspecting the games on the line. Proud moment. Bigfoot showed up to help make sure inspection was right. And you all know that Dennis is Bigfoot in Whitewater.
Yes, in Whitewater, he is Bigfoot. That's definitely
true. Yep, that's the guy. Don Thorne runs our manufacturing, does a great job. And that's Tom trying to figure out his work on the base crate. I told somebody today, it's kind of like IKEA furniture, you know, you just gotta read the directions and it'll come together. I love this shot. This is my favorite shot. It's like, it's so cool to see a few reels in a factory again.
No dot matrix.
Yeah, no doubt. Well,
yes.
Well,
yes.
Very small. Very small. Here's the final test line at Melrose. And here's a historic shot. Look at that. That's the end of the line at Melrose Park. So that was the last games that we built at Melrose Park. There it is.
Wow, that's good.
There it is. April 30th. Yeah. And the first cabinets in Elk Grove. So first play fields. So more kudos to people that help in the background. Here's Stephen Martin, also known as Steve Martin, but not that guy. So he does a lot of our production graphics, which helps me greatly, because then I don't have to do everything. And he gets a lot of the brochure work done and gets the game, all the artwork for the games ready for final art production for printers. Good guy. And here we go. We've been almost everywhere this year. A Johnny Cash song, right? I've been everywhere. So Texas, we debuted the game down there. We brought it back to Milwaukee as a finished game. We got Seattle. There's Todd. This is a great... Does anybody know Todd McCullough?
Yeah. He's a basketball player.
Yes, former NBA player. Todd, Big Mac, as they call him. This picture of Dennis and me and Todd... None of us are doing this. No. I'm standing straight up, so we thought it made an interesting totem pole.
Just keep on over for the Florida Dolphins.
And then Todd sent me this later. You keep saying Warnelli. My name is Todd. So, oh yeah, we're still on the trip. Denver. Forgot where I was for a moment. Where am I? Belgium. Yeah, right. You're in Belgium. Atlanta, Boston, we got Roger in Boston, look at that. And he schooled us. He came up there and just showed us how it's done. I beat him later, don't worry.
Greg, just one single thing about Tom McCullough. He had the World Pinball Championship in Seattle.
Yes.
3 years ago.
Yes, he did.
He did.
You're correct.
Exactly.
Right. That's a good idea. I should have said
that. And
that's
the truth.
Yep. He's a good guy. And now he owns a Warnelli. So yeah, here I am in Belgium. Awesome. Thanks for the invite again. This is creative use of the crate. When people refer to this as Nelly Bucks, but it's for amusement only. Remember that. If I had audio working, I would have shown you or let you hear the people that helped us out with audio and voiceover. Jerry Thompson from Seattle helped us out with the music and speech. He did a lot of the speech himself. Jessica Rowe is from Louisiana, and she did the Melanie voice work in the game. The Crazy Farmhand guy was voiced by Rod Olson. If you play the game in the tournament, the guy that's cackling and making all sorts of weird noises, that's the guy right there, Rodney Olson. And we wanted to show, in case you ever buy a game, the base crate is actually very well engineered. Dennis decided to use rubber engine mounts to make the game feel as if it's on legs. So you can still provide the English needed on this old school game, because it is needed. It's just, you know, it is what it is. You have to nudge it a bit to get a good game going. And it also has leg levelers, because a lot of people thought the base crate was just a crate, but it does have leg levelers, so you can get it pitched and everything just where you need it. And I told this to Evert last night. I said, you don't have that pitched at 4 degrees, do you? I said, our decal says 4 degrees, but please don't set it at 4. Set it at 6 or wherever you want it. There's people operating games, Bonelli, and we appreciate that. And we hope that more and more operators take a look at this game because it can earn money. At Attaball, that's in Seattle, they were operating at 25 cents a play. I told them you could probably get away with 50, but they're having a ball at 25 cents a play, and they're making good money with it, so they're happy, so we're happy. And it's available now. If anybody does want to buy one, talk to your local distributor, and it will be available. Contact your local. Look, Swiss. And just so you know, if you get one of the first 74 games, we have a kit available because they forgot to include the legs that go on if you're not using the legs. These are pieces of wood that go on the front of and back of the main cabinet. So there is a kit available in case you don't have that when you buy the game. There's Bonelli Summer Blonde Ale. Will it be manufactured? We hope so. But at least the can goes with the game. We use the crushed cans to support the rest of the game when it's on the base grade. So that's an important element of the design of the beer. You can get swag at the Stern Shop, including Watermelon Shooter Knob. Thanks everybody. Thanks, Evert. Thanks, Levin, for inviting me. We really, Dennis and I both appreciate the time and effort, that you put into pinball. We appreciate all the players that have supported pinball for so long and continue to support it. And I do want to say one other thing. The last project, before I take questions if you have any, the last project I worked on recently was Game of Thrones. So if you haven't yet played the first ever Game of Thrones, it's out on the floor. Get a chance to play it tomorrow, and I think you'll have fun. I saw somebody say they had a 5 billion score already. Is that possible?
Seems 5.8 billion. With the glass off.
All right, there you go, with the glass off. So at this point, I'll open it up for some questions if you're still awake. Levin has a question.
Out of these three first ones that you made in the garage, because three of them have three different colors, which one is yours? You must have one of your own. There's three. No? There's
the
fourth. I already have
So, Levin's question was, which one of the three games or four games that you built in the garage is yours? And I said, Dennis and I couldn't afford to keep the games that we built. So they are all owned by proud owners, and we literally had to let those babies go. So we we're very happy for that. But we definitely could not keep those games. They were very precious. Sir?
You head up the art department, Stern.
Correct.
Who else do you work with there?
Okay. I work with Stephen Martin, that I pointed out, in-house. I don't have anything to do with the dots. We've got a team of people that do dots. On the outside, I've worked with Kevin O'Connor for years, and we also we're trying to get some new blood in. So Game of Thrones LE was done by a local guy, Bob Steflett. Did a really nice job with the Khaleesi LE. We're trying to expand and get younger people, to do some artwork for us. So, any other questions?
Good night.